The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Today is World MS Day, a day highlighting a condition affecting over 9,000 people in Ireland. The sad truth of it is there's no known cure so far for multiple sclerosis. Now, to get some insight on the toll that the disease takes, as well as the treatments to slow its progress, I'm joined now by a sufferer, Patrice Brady-Carton, and by consultant neurologist at St. Vincent's University Hospital and clinical professor at UCD's School of Medicine, Professor Christopher McGuigan. Good morning and welcome to you both. Now, Patrice, let's talk about your discovery that you had MS. It wasn't actually very straightforward, that diagnosis.
Good morning, Pat. How are you? No, it wasn't. It was years back in 2001, I had a car accident. I had a lot of damage done to my back and stuff. But I would have built up... built myself back up after that, and I worked as a performing arts teacher and a dancer and everything, so I had, you know, I was able to get back to doing all of that stuff that I loved, and then about 2013, 2014, I was having a few different issues, where I was tripping and I was having issues with my eye and stuff like that. And the consultant that I was seeing, the pain consultant to do with my back, he was like, oh, I think there might be something else going on as well. So then he sent me to a spinal neurosurgeon who did a series of tests and stuff and said, yeah, I think there's something else going on as well. And then sent me back to a neurology team. And they would have done then the MRI and lumbar puncture and bloods and stuff like that. So
now the thing was, in your family, there might have been a clue.
Yeah, my mother has MS as well. Yes, and she was diagnosed in her 30s also. But she's such a, we grew up, she's such a positive, wonderful mother. You know, she'd five of us, worked part-time, and you know, she always focused on what she could do, not what she couldn't do, you know. So I had a great role model of somebody living with the disease as well, you know, somebody that looked at it from a positive point of view.
Now, a big question for you is, can I expand my family? Can I have more kids?
Yes. Yeah. So the day I was diagnosed actually with MS was March 2015, and I had been years asking them, because I have an older boy who was born in 2002, and I'd been years asking them, could I have another? So consultant, he just smiled at me and said, yeah. He said, years ago they would have said no, but yeah, go ahead. He said, don't let MS stop you from what you would have chosen your life for yourself anyhow, which was great advice.
All right, so... off you went.
Off I went, yeah. And had two more, so I've three boys now in total.
Now, what happened to stop your gallop in terms of work?
So in 2020, I'd had my third little boy, the start of 2020, just before everything changed in the world. And I was doing okay, and... come that September, the middle guy I was bringing to school, he was starting junior infants, and we live out in the country, so it was just walking distance to the school. And then I was going on for a further walk with the buggy afterwards, and I found that my legs, I always sort of had some issues with my legs because of the back injury and then with the MS then as well. And so as I was walking, they were getting heavier and heavier the further I was going, and it was like somebody had poured cement into them, and the cement was setting the further I was going along. And then I had a couple of incidences where I actually couldn't, I had to stop, my legs wouldn't move. I was like, what is going on here with my legs? And I didn't know if it was my back or the MS. So I contacted the MS nurses, and they brought me in then to do some testing and stuff like that. And they had found then that I was on the cusp of moving into secondary progressive MS. So originally I was diagnosed with relapse remitting MS. It came down to, you know, I was with work. Work was a hobby of mine that became a job, you know, so it was very hard to walk away from it. you know, because I love teaching and I love performing arts and stuff. But I knew something had to give, you know, there's only so much energy you have in the day and there's only so much that you can do, you know. So I knew if I was going to try and push and keep going, because the job was quite hard, that I was going to, it was going to give, you know, I wasn't going to have enough energy for my children and stuff. So I had been working in the industry over 20 years. So I just made the call to, I was like, you know, I've got, you know, time to focus on myself and my health and get myself back stronger. And do you know, now I'm okay. I'm happy with the decision now, because I'm actually, it makes you sometimes a serious, you know, serious illness or something, you know, like a change in the path. It makes you reevaluate things in your life. And sometimes what you think might be, oh God, this is the end of the world and I don't want this, it can actually open new avenues for you, which is nice as well, you know. So instead of fighting against it, just going with the flow.
And how are you coping today?
Yeah, I do okay. I, you know, like there are days, it is an illness that is invisible, you know. So a lot of people will, you'll always have people say, you know, oh God, sure, you look great, or, you know, or, you know, or sure, what would be wrong with you, you know, and things like that. But, you know, it is one of those illnesses. And of course, it is snowflake disease as well. It varies. Every person with MS has different issues, you know. But you know, a lot of it's hidden. And there's days that, you know, you can't even, you can barely leave the house. You can barely move your legs, move your arms, you know, the fatigue, vision problems, numbness. There's a lot of stuff that goes along with it, but you just have to refocus, you know, your attention. You know, you always try and find, live in the moment, I find is very important for me. So, you know, not living too far ahead of, or panicking about, you know, if you're having a bad day. It's just to focus on the moment and live in the present, and always try and find gratitude in the moment.
Are there any drug therapies that work for you?
Yes, yeah, so I get an infusion every 6 months. And so it's probably one of the more newer medications with MS. But it's good. It's tough on the system. It's tough when you get it done. You're sort of out of action for about a week or two. But then it's nice not to have to worry about the medication then again for another 6 months, you know.
Well, Patrice, you sound like you're very chipper, very positive, optimistic kind of person. So long may that continue. Listening to our conversation, Professor Christopher McGuigan. Christopher, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
A kind of a mystery as to, obviously it's heritable to some extent based on what Patrice has been saying, but a mystery as to what causes it.
That's correct. Yeah, I mean, the full cause of MS is not understood. I think it's hereditable insofar as what we inherit is our immune system. And some people inherit a kind of a predisposition to autoimmune diseases, of which MS is one. So MS itself isn't directly inherited, but you may find that certain families have a predisposition to other autoimmune conditions. It may manifest as MS or psoriasis or rheumatoid arthritis. I mean, we think that the most likely explanation is that someone who is already genetically prone to getting MS, there's something very simple like a little viral infection that triggers a series of events which leads to the development of MS. And there's a lot of interest at the moment of a particular virus called Epstein-Barr, EBV, which most of us are exposed to in childhood or adolescence, that may be the trigger in certain people who are already predisposed to the condition.
Now, what's actually happening, the immune system attacks the myelin sheath over the nerves, which you could think of, I suppose, as the plastic that covers an electrical wire.
That's right. Yeah. So myelin is the insulation. Myelin is the wrapping around your neurons, your nerve cells, that helps the message travel efficiently and quickly to give you your functions in your brain. And The MS causes a type of inflammation which strips away the myelin in certain parts of the brain cells, which damages the cells themselves. And then there's also another process going on that we call degeneration, where the nerve cells seem to be damaging themselves from within. And Patrice talked there about relapse and remitting MS. So that would be very much episodes of inflammation which would come, cause a symptom, and then may resolve again with a certain degree of symptom left behind. Whereas when she talked about moving into the more secondary progressive phase of MS, that's where inflammation becomes a little bit less relevant, and it's more the degeneration seems to take over and become the more relevant process.
We heard about the difficulty in getting an early diagnosis in Patrice there, because she had other complications like that accident which damaged her back. So how do you diagnose it? I mean, is there a simple blood test that tells you, yes, you have it, or is it more complicated than that?
So unfortunately, it's more complicated. There isn't a single test we do that will tell you if someone has MS or not. So for a lot of people, the starting point is the first symptom that they may have. So there are certain symptoms that would make us suspect that MS may be present. So for instance, inflammation behind the eye, I think we call optic neuritis, is a very common first sign of MS. But the tests we do from that point are an MRI scan, looking to see if there's evidence of inflammation in the brain or spinal tissue, and that shows up as little white dots or lesions, and often supported by a lumbar puncture, which is taking some spinal fluid, which again gives you a type of banding in the spinal fluid, which would be typical of MS. The problem is there are many mimics for MS and other conditions that can look like it, which are treated in a different way. So Patrice's experience would be quite typical in that there is an early part of the investigations where you do need to take time, you do need to accumulate the relevant information, and make sure you've excluded all of the mimics so that you can then confidently move forward with treating MS. But I know, you know, people obviously find that a frustrating time at the start, because everyone wants an answer, as you would yourself. But it is important to take that time and make sure you're treating the correct condition.
Now, we talked about the family history, inherited immune systems and so on. Typical age for onset and women versus men?
So MS is a condition which affects women more often than men. It's about a 3-to-1 ratio, although there is evidence that may be changing over time. In terms of age group, it's a condition of young adults. So it often comes on in the 20s or 30s. Again, the internationally, the experience is the age seems to be increasing. And we think that may be because there are some people with milder forms of MS who may be picked up on an MRI scan. And the widespread use of MRI scans now for other indications, we tend to be diagnosing more people in their 40s and into their 50s. But it is traditionally thought of as a condition of younger people.
Now, there is no cure, as we've heard, not so far, but there are ways of slowing it down. There are drugs. How effective are they?
That's correct. I mean, up until the late 90s, MS really was not a treatable condition. There were symptom drugs that you could give for certain symptoms, but there was nothing you could do to change the course. And then since the late 90s, a series of drugs called disease-modifying therapies have been introduced. And year on year, they've really become increasingly effective. I mean, Patrice mentioned that she's on an infusion. So there are a group of biological drugs called monoclonal antibodies.
Okay, we seem to have lost
in terms of controlling inflammation. And our hope is that if you get in and treat inflammation early and control it, that you will delay or postpone the development of the more progressive phases of MS. You're absolutely right, they're not cures, and unfortunately not everyone responds to the medication, but it has stimulated a lot more research in the area and an increasing number of drugs in development.
All right, we seem to be losing Christopher from time to time, but I think we got all the messages there. The last voice you heard, that of Professor Christopher McGuigan, consultant neurologist at St. Vincent's University Hospital, clinical professor at UCD's School of Medicine. And before that, our guest was Patrice Brady-Carton, who suffers from MS. There's an exhibition, The Art of MS, Symptoms Under the Spotlight. It's accessible to the public until the 1st of June from 9 until 5. It's located at the main foyer of Trinity Biomedical Sciences Institute. That's in Dublin on Pier Street, 152 to 160. So if you're interested, you could drop in to that.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.